Did you know that the average person in the United States spends nearly 7 hours a day in front of a screen? The average person in the United States spends nearly 7 hours a day in screen time. Now, I'm assuming non-iPhones do this as well, but on an iPhone, they send you a little message on how much screen time you've had. And if you receive that message, it can sometimes be a little bit convicting when you see just how much time you've spent in front of a screen. On average, nearly 4 of those 7 hours a day are spent scrolling and posting to social media, streaming music, or listening to podcasts. We live in a tech-dominated society and a tech-dominated culture. Cell phones have anchored us to work and tethered us to many, many different things, all of which take our time and take our attention. And you might be asking yourself, okay, why are we beginning a sermon on when to pray by talking about cell phone statistics? And it's simply this. This is not going to be a sermon about cell phones or cell phone usage. But I do want to begin with a question that will expose how we spend our time. In conversation with anybody about prayer, have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, I want to pray, but I just don't have time." Anybody ever heard that excuse or given that excuse? "I don't have time to pray. I'm so busy." Well, I begin talking about how much time our culture spends in front of a cell phone for things like social media and music, but yet we don't spend it in prayer. Now, that's going to be convicting to some, and that's not going to be convicting at all to others, because I know some of you in this room who don't even have a cell phone. And you're probably the wiser for it, if I'm being completely honest. There are so many different things that pull at our attention. And I firmly believe that this is both our flesh and our enemy seeking to distract us from communing with God, seeking to distract us from spending time with the Lord in prayer. Think about the way that they prayed in the New Testament. You read throughout the book of Acts, and there are times where it said that they labored in prayer throughout the night. When was the last time any of us ever went to an all-night prayer gathering? Anybody? Anybody ever been to an all-night prayer gathering? Some people, okay, I see a couple hands. Because in our society, so many people think, why would you pray? Why would you pray all night? The better question is, why don't we pray all night? Why don't we spend hours before the Lord? Remember what Jesus said to his disciples when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane? He takes Peter, James, and John. And then he goes a little bit further from them and he tells them, "Watch and pray with me." And he goes a little bit further and he prays. And when he comes back, what are they doing? They're sleeping. What does Jesus say to them? "Could you not watch and pray for an hour, a single hour?" But some of us, and sometimes myself included, think, "Boy, what would you say? An hour is an awful long time." But Jesus is saying to them, like, an hour is nothing. Not even an hour could you labor in prayer and be in prayer. So this all comes back to, well, when should we pray? When should we pray? And the answer is straightforward, continually. And that's the big thing that I want you to see from this passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, is that we must be a people that pray continually. And we see this exhortation in the scriptures in more places than just Ephesians. We see it in 1 Thessalonians. We see it from the words of Jesus all over the New Testament. It's also in 2 Thessalonians that we would be constant in prayer. That we would be constant in prayer. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to read Ephesians chapter 6. I actually want to read the whole section. We're going to focus on verse 18, but I do want to read the whole section so you can kind of see what's going on and how prayer ties in with the armor of God. So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, but I'm going to draw your attention particularly to verse 18. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this is the verse 18. I want you to pay careful attention. This is where we're going to spend our time this morning. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Pray continually. Be constant in prayer. Be fervent in prayer. In a world, and don't get me wrong, this is difficult to do. It is hard to do because we live in a world that is wrought with distractions. And we live in a world with an enemy that is going to do anything possible. And we live with a sinful flesh that is going to do anything possible to keep us as far away from God. So there are going to be so many things in our lives that are going to pull our attention away from prayer. So pray continually. Pray continually. And as we make our way through Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, we're going to ask and answer two questions. We're going to ask and answer two questions. And the first question is simply, when should we pray? When should we pray? Now, we kind of already answered this question that we should pray continually, but we're going to dwell here for just a minute. Has anybody ever listened to maybe a preacher, maybe a friend, you know, maybe a Sunday school teacher talk about the times of day that you ought to pray? I've heard people, and I'm not kidding. I have heard people say, well, you should pray in the morning because that's when Jesus prayed. Jesus rose early and he went and prayed in the morning. So that's when you should pray is in the morning. And I've heard people say, well, you should pray when you're most attentive and when you're at your sharpest. So if that's in the middle of the day, pray in the middle of the day. I've heard people say that if you're the sharpest at night, you know, pray at night. I've heard people say that, well, you should always end your day with prayer. And the answer to all of those people is yes, you're right. You should. You should pray in the morning. You should pray while you're eating breakfast. You should pray on your commute to work. You should pray while you're at work. You should pray in the midst of the conversations with your people at work. If you're retired, as you're going about your day, as you're running errands, as you're getting together with friends, as you're coming to Tuesday Missions Workday, you should be praying. We should be praying at all of these times. We should be praying in the evening. We should be praying as we lay our heads down at night. We should be praying continually. To quote the passage in 1 Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 5, we should be praying without ceasing. Now, let me take a second and tell you what that does not mean, so there's no confusion. It does not mean you open your eyes in the morning and you say, "Dear God," and then the rest of your day is mutterings and musings to the Lord until you lay your head down at night. And just before you're about to fall asleep, you say, "In Jesus' name, amen." It's not this one big long prayer. It's talking about being in a spirit of prayer. We'll get to this more in just a second. But it doesn't mean that we are in this continuous prayer. And there's a reason why we're called to continuous prayer and not silent monasticism. That's what monks do. Monks go to a monastery to never talk to a human soul, but to live in constant piety and prayer. Can you think of a reason why that wouldn't fulfill the call that Jesus has placed upon our life? I can think of a couple passages of scripture, Matthew 28 being one of them. Go therefore into all of the world and making disciples of all of the nations, teaching them or baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. We have to converse with people. We can't live in silent prayer 24/7. But what we can do is we can respond spiritually to the Lord in the midst of those conversations. As we talk with people and they ask us questions that might put us against the ropes, our first response should be, God, help me. God, give me wisdom. God, help me to know how to answer rightly and to answer clearly and to answer honestly. Use this conversation to take the truth of the gospel from their ears to their hearts. That's how we pray continually. We'll get more to that in a second. But it doesn't mean this silent, monastic view of, dear Lord, and then we don't do anything but pray. Because prayer doesn't just have to be this formal, out loud, you know, dear God, bless, dear God, give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. There are so many ways that we pray. We pray silently. We pray out loud. We pray quietly. We pray while we're driving. We pray through song. We pray through the scriptures. We pray continuously. I can remember when I was young, my dad used to refer, and probably still does, I just haven't heard him say it in a while. My dad used to refer to this as checking in with the Lord. That as we go throughout our day, we check in with the Lord. Just as a child would make it a habit of touching base with their parents, letting them know what's going on, asking them for advice, asking them for wisdom. We do the same thing with God. And that's how we pray continually. So at the beginning of verse 18, when Paul says praying at all times, that's what it means to pray at all times. It means to be in the habit of checking in regularly with the Lord. It doesn't mean this type of pious, pie in the sky sense of self-dignity like the monks believe in monasteries. But what it does mean is that we are regularly consulting with the Father. And why is that important? Because of a verse like John 15:5 that says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, we need God. Remember back to our first sermon on prayer was why we pray. And the main reason why we pray is because we need to, because we need God. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. So what does this look like? It looks like before we speak, we ask God to help. It looks like before when we receive sad news, we ask God for comfort. When we feel stressed, we pray. Before we write an email or give an address at work, we ask God to help us. When we confess, we ask God to forgive and ask God to help us in rooting the sin out of our life. When something joyous happens or we see God's hand of blessing, we offer prayers of thanksgiving and praise. When walking outside and beholding God's glory, we offer prayers of worship. When you think about Jesus, you thank God for your salvation. We pray about everything at all times because we need God. We need him, and without him, we can do nothing. So what does it mean to pray without ceasing? When should we pray? When should we pray? We should pray continually. We should pray at all times. We should always be constant in prayer. We should be continually checking in with the Lord. When we are stressed or burdened or anxious, our response should be to go to God. Yes, pray in the morning. Yes, pray in the middle of the day. Pray in the evening. Pray at night. Pray always. Let me ask you a question. How many of you can honestly say that when life gets a little hard, that your initial response is to pray? I confess that for me, sometimes. But it is not. And maybe that's your pastor being a little bit too transparent. But I rely on myself far too often. And I go to God far too little. Our first response must be to go to the Lord. I love a lot of the old hymns about prayer. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. No. A sweet hour of prayer that draws me from a world of care. How often is it the reverse in our lives? How often does the world of care draw us away from the sweet hour of prayer? We need to pray continually. That's question number one. And you might be thinking to yourself, that seems like a tall exhortation. That seems like a tall order to pray at all times. It sounds good, but how do we get there? I'm glad you asked, because that's the second question. How do we do this? How do we pray continually? Well, the answer is simply found in verse 18. We pray continually by living continually before God. When Paul exhorts them in verse 18, he says, praying at all times. That's the when. The when is at all times. Then the rest of the verse addresses the how. How do we do that? And he begins by saying, praying at all times in the Spirit. When we live our lives before the Lord, when we live in the Spirit, we are going to be consciously aware of God's presence within our lives. When we are living a life that is Spirit-filled, our inclination is then going to be to go to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, step number one, how do we pray continually? Strive to live a life in the Spirit. What does that look like, you might ask? Well, a passage like Galatians chapter 5 is really helpful. Flip back, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5 for just a second. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul writes and he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And then he goes through and he specifies the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. What does it mean to live life in the Spirit? It means to silence the flesh. It means to not give your flesh quarter for authority. We have crucified the flesh, dear friends, in Christ. If we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, our flesh is dead, which means that when we pray, when we are distracted, and when we are tempted to be far away from the Lord because our spirit or our soul, our flesh is drawing us into something that is distracting, in the power of the Spirit, we can tell our flesh to shut up and to go away, to be silent because it is dead, because the flesh has been crucified. Instead, we are alive in the Spirit of God. And one of the ways that we sense that and where we come into good tune with the Spirit of God is through prayer. It is by no accident that these two things go hand in hand. Do you want to live a life in the Spirit? You need to be constant in prayer. Do you want to be constant in prayer? You need to live a life in the Spirit. Do you know what doing this is going to require? Hold on to your seats because I'm about to use a word that culture doesn't like. Discipline. It is going to take discipline and hard work. It's going to take setting reminders and setting alarms. It's going to take making conscious decisions to say no to some things and yes to other things if we want to live in the Spirit and if we want to pray continually. It's going to take hard work. And that's a good thing. A lot of people don't like the concept of discipline and the concept of hard work within the Christian faith. But they're called spiritual disciplines for a reason. We need to discipline ourselves to read our Bibles and to study our Bibles. We need to discipline ourselves to pray. And as we do so, we are in the Spirit. It also means, what does it mean to be in the Spirit? What does it mean to abide in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit? It means to be subservient to the will of God. It means to submit to the authority of the Spirit. There have been many times in my life, again, maybe I'm oversharing this morning, but there have been times in my life where I have sensed the prodding of the Holy Spirit to do something or to say something or to go somewhere and have resisted for fear of man or for fear of uncomfortability or whatever the case may be. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we've all had those moments. But living in the Spirit also means submitting to the Spirit. We pray at all times by being in the Spirit, by living a life that recognizes that we are before the Lord. Here's the thing to keep in mind. Our lives are before the Lord, whether we realize it or not. If we shove that truth to the back of our mind, it doesn't change the fact that God is omnipresent. And it doesn't change the fact that God still sees everything. In his book, Thoughts for Young Men, J.C. Ryle talks about how we would be well served to be reminded of the omnipresence of God. And the point that he's driving at is that we would be well served to remember that our lives are lived before a holy God. God sees and knows everything. Can you see how reminding yourself of that truth every morning could help you to live in the Spirit and to pray continually? Knowing that God sees and that God knows, but not just that he sees and he knows, but that he cares. God cares about us. And God is compassionate towards us. This is what it means to pray in the Spirit. To pray and to live life always before the Lord. To where our first response is to talk to God. No matter what happens, our first response is to talk to God. Do you want to pray continually? I know everybody's answer is yes. You want to grow in the discipline of praying continually. Live in the Spirit. Live life in the Spirit. Live life submitted to the authority of the Spirit. Live life recognizing that we live before a holy God. And then go to him. He's not just out there far away watching us, but he's near us and he's close to us. And he wants us to commune with him and to fellowship with him. Paul goes on and he unpacks that further. Praying at all times in the Spirit. We've dealt with that. With all prayer and supplication. Pray in the Spirit, talk to the Lord, go to the Lord, live life before the Lord by asking God things and telling God things. Prayer is another word for request. And the word supplication is a word that means request out of a specific need. So if you're wrestling with something specific and that's giving rise to specific requests that you want to then go and ask God about, that's what's called supplication. We're supplicating to God. We're making our requests known to him. We're asking him things. We're asking him for help. We're asking him for hope. We're asking him for wisdom. We're asking him for assurance. We're asking him to help us to know that he has raised us up on eagle's wings, that he is our shelter and our strong tower, so that in the midst of darkness, we are not fearful or dismayed, that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that God is with us. And we need not fear the terror of the night. Those are the things that we supplicate to the Lord. Take your requests to the Lord. And then Paul goes on in verse 18 and he says, to that end, keep alert. Keep alert. This ties right back to where we started at the beginning with talking about things that distract us. It is hard to keep alert. The way that this phrase is used, think about a night watch. For any of you who were in the military, especially if you were ever deployed overseas, but even not, it carries a particular significance to anybody who was overseas. Every unit had a night watch, right? You don't want the night watch sleeping. You want the night watch to be on guard and to be alert, because it is in the cover of darkness that the evil abounds. So we need to keep alert. We need to be like the night watchman. We need to be sharp and we need to be sensible and we need to be wise. We need to keep alert. We need to stay focused. And I confess, it's hard. How many of you have sat down, whenever your time of the day is that you dedicate to prayer, how many of you have sat down to pray and you start praying and all of a sudden you start thinking about all the things? You start thinking about the to-do list around the house. You start thinking about the appointments for that day. You start thinking about whatever box is unchecked. You start thinking about things that you haven't thought about for 10 years. But you start thinking about them when you're praying. Why? Because it is hard to keep alert. Remember, the direct connection between prayer and living in the Spirit. Your flesh, my flesh, and our enemy, the devil, do not want us to live life in the Spirit. They want us to live life far away from God. Let me give a book plug, which I do so frequently. If you've never read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, pick up a copy of The Screwtape Letters, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a fictitious reading where Lewis is setting up these letters that are correspondence between a demon in hell and a demon on earth, who is essentially trying to distract and deceive this young man, this target. And in many ways, reading that book is like reading the enemy's playbook, because it's so true. There are so many things that the evil one uses, and there are so many things that our flesh uses to try to distract us so that we don't keep alert. But we need to keep alert. We need to stay focused. He then goes on, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Perseverance, another word closely connected to discipline. We need to persevere. It is hard, but don't give up. Just because you wake in the morning and you might start to pray and you might get distracted, that's not a reason to give up. That's not a reason to close your Bible and say, oh, well, I don't have the attention span for this. I'm just going to go ahead and start working on my to-do list. You have just given victory to your flesh when you do that. You have given victory to the evil one when we give in and when we walk away. Persevere. Strive forward. Press forward. Continue working. Don't give up and don't give in. That's what it means to persevere, to press on, to remain steadfast. Friends, it is hard. Let me be the first to say that. It is difficult. One of the things that would be really encouraging is to hear from many of you who are older, and the development in your prayer life, how long it took for you to get to a point of being developed in your prayer life, how many times of rising in the morning and not wanting to pray, but going and praying anyways, developing the discipline and developing the habit to be ever before the Lord. But it is a good work to persevere in, because the only way that we're going to suit on the armor of God is through prayer. Prayer is not some additional piece of armor that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 6. Prayer is the method of dressing, if you will. Think about it. I'm pretty sure it's in the hymn Stand Up for Jesus, where there's the line that says, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. We put on the armor with prayer. So if we want to be suited and ready for battle and ready to go to war, friends, we need to pray. We need to persevere in prayer. We need to not give up. We need to stay at it. We need to strive at it. We need to keep alert. We need to continue praying. We need to press into the Spirit, and we need to pray at all times. And we need to pray without ceasing. This next week, friends, let me exhort you to take time to commit yourself to prayer. Even if it's just a few minutes to start with, be sure to pray that God would help you to be watchful and alert, that God would help you to adorn each piece of armor, and that God would help you to persevere in prayer. If there are things in your life, and do this next week too, look at your day-to-day life, and if there are things in your life that are keeping you from prayer, identify what they are and begin to either root them out or shrink them. Don't let anything distract you from your walk with the Lord. Take on the whole armor, each piece, and put it on with prayer. Pray continually, dear friends. Be watchful and persevere as you make prayer and supplication for all the saints. You know who is included in all the saints? You. You are a saint of God if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. Pray for yourself and pray for the saints of God. Continually in the Spirit, being watchful, being mindful, keeping alert, and persevering. Pray for yourself. Pray for me. Pray for the members of our church. Look around. Look around the room today and look and think about who's not here. And many people here not here for good reasons, for sickness or appointments or whatever's going on. Pray for them. Pray for them. Make requests to God on their behalf. May we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be and become men and women who live life continually and ever before the Lord, praying at all times. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the gift of prayer. Lord, I confess my own tendency to neglect the gift of prayer, and I ask that you would forgive me. And I ask that you would help me. I ask that you would help me model gospel-centered, Christ-centered, spirit-empowered praying. God, I pray that you would help my brothers and sisters here today to be men and women of prayer, that our commitment as a church and that our commitment as individuals would be to pray always, to pray constantly. Lord, that we would make it our habit to check in regularly with you, that our first inclination when we rise in the morning would be to consult with you, that our first inclination before we speak, before we act, before we talk, before we write, before we converse, before we do anything would be to pray and ask you for help because we need you, Father. God, we need you so much. Apart from you, we can do nothing. I pray that those realities would be very keen in our minds, but that the other realities that would be keen in our minds would be the help that you give, that you are good and compassionate, that you give us good gifts like your word and prayer so that we might fellowship with you and commune with you. God, make us a praying and a believing people who are suited with the full armor and ready for battle, that we would be watchful, that we would keep alert, that we would persevere in making prayers and supplications for ourselves and for all the saints in the Spirit. Lord, we ask all of this in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. Amen.